To those who can hear me, I say, do not despair. The misery that is now upon us is but the passing of greed, the bitterness of men who fear the way of human progress. The hate of men will pass and dictators die, and the power they took from the people will return to the people.
Because history has shown us that courage can be contagious, and hope can take on a life of its own.
I will bring you hope, and I ask only one thing in return.
We move now, together.
Not at all. Hope is not lost today. It is found.
Hope is what keeps you going.
Even if the whole world is telling you to move, it is your duty to plant yourself like a tree, look them in the eye, and say no. You move.
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fandy Show. I'm Elizabeth, and today on Signal Boost we have Tonya R. Moore, author of Becoming, a collection of short speculative fiction. Welcome to the show, Tonya.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about you and your work?
Let's see. I grew up a fan of sci-fi. As early as 10, I remember being a huge fan of Star Trek, The Next Generation, and I think that was sort of how I got into sci-fi. But I do remember this one particular day that I read a story by Ray Bradbury, and that story, it really resonated with me. And it was around the time when I started to dabble with writing, and I just remember thinking, if I could write like this, everything would be perfect. So I just sort of segued into writing sci-fi, and I've been writing mostly sci-fi ever since.
Your stories tend to be quite dark, and they often involve a bit of body horror. So what is it about these darker elements that draws you?
You know, it's funny, because I remember a little while ago I was going over my older work, and I realized that it's exactly as you say, it got this darkness to it, and that was never intentional. And I think maybe because I do kind of like horror, and, you know, I remember being really enamored with The Twilight Zone, and I think it was called The Outer Limits. And so I think even a while back there was a show called Chromium Blue that sparked my interest and kind of sent us back. And that's the only thing I can think of that where that influence came from. But I really noticed this myself, and I was a little slightly alarmed.
I think it's harder to see your own themes when you're up and down amongst the weeds yourself. I think it takes a collection like Becoming, like putting that together, to kind of step back and see it as a whole. So in your bio, you mentioned that you felt like your Jamaican upbringing had helped you bring a fresh perspective to speculative fiction. So how do you see that playing out in your writing?
It does in very subtle ways, maybe the way characters interact with each other. I do have a couple of stories where the influence is very direct, and you can tell. There is this one story called Witch and Spider, which is based on the legend of Anansi. And I'm sure by now everyone's quite familiar with Anansi because it's of American gods. But I wrote that several years ago because I was always very fascinated by the Anansi stories that we used to tell as a child. And now Anansi really originated in Africa, but, you know, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but Jamaica is made up of descendants of slaves. So a lot of those legends got passed down in our culture as well. So you'll find little elements like that in my work. You might see Rastafarian characters pop up in my works from time to time. And I even have this one story that's set in Jamaica. I think it's on my website right now, called The Darker Side. It's not in the Becoming collection, which was kind of an oversight on my part, but it is there. And it's probably it's probably the only story that I really try to delve back into the whole atmosphere of Jamaica to kind of press the beauty of the island and, you know, the richness of the history. But you can certainly see it in those little ways.
So I understand that you're currently in the middle of shifting to longer work. Was there something particular that prompted you to change things up?
The dismal state of the short story market right now.
Fair enough.
The main thing, but I also wanted to challenge myself. I think sticking with shorter works was a part of it was Bradbury's influence because he wrote a lot of short works, but he also wrote longer works too. And so I wanted to challenge myself, but at the same time, I was possibly just writing short stories because it's easier. So doing this takes me out of my comfort zone. And so it's a challenge in that respect, but I think I need to get out of that comfort zone.
Absolutely. I think it's when you push out of your comfort zone like that you learn the most. So I also hear that you are a huge anime fan. So what would be some of your favorites?
Okay. quite a long list, but right now, my favorite of all time is actually this anime called One Piece.
Oh, I know the one, yep.
Yeah, and I really love that show because it's got really what I think is masterful storytelling, and it's got a bit of a formula. So you have masterful storytelling, you have the comedy, you have these heart-wrenching moments, you have the high action and the violence, and the silliness. And somehow the creator has managed to make all of that work. And I think right now that the One Piece, I think, is like in maybe 700 and something episodes right now. So it's probably one of the longest running of all time. But it doesn't get old. And I am constantly in awe of how the person who created the story managed to accomplish that.
It's certainly quite an undertaking, and one of the longest running anime and manga series that I'm familiar with.
There is this one anime that I saw very recently that really intrigued me. And so now I'm telling everyone about it.
Well, tell me. I'm a huge anime fan.
All right. It's called B, the letter B, The Beginning. It's on Netflix. And it's kind of weird because it's kind of like a serial killer psychological thriller. But it also has sci-fi fantasy elements. So it's kind of like two storylines smashed together. But it works. It really works. And when it starts, you have all these expectations of what it's going to be like or what the story is going to be. But then it just turns itself on its head and it's not what you expect at all. So I just watched a whole season last night when I should have been sleeping. And now I'm really hoping that there's going to be a season two.
Oh, fingers crossed. Did you see, I've forgotten what it was called. There was another one that was, it was about a young man who had this ability to flash back in time. And then he goes back to his childhood where some of his classmates were killed by a serial killer, but the crime was never solved.
Oh, Erased. I started watching it, but I haven't finished it yet. It's on my to-watch list. It's one of those that there's about 100 animes on my to-watch list that I haven't finished watching because I'm waiting for the perfect time. And I don't know when the perfect time is going to be to watch them, but it's kind of like I know that now is not the right time to watch this one. I'm going to wait. So my list keeps growing and it never ends.
I have a similar problem with my pile of books to read.
Oh, we won't even talk about my books. I buy books and I don't read them. I just buy them and I keep meaning to read them. I don't know. I just buy more books.
Do you feel like your love of anime has had an influence on your writing?
I think it has. I think my style can sometimes be a bit surreal, And I think that's because of the influence of anime and manga. Because, you know, there's a certain type of expressiveness that I'm not sure how to put it into words that anime and manga embody. And when you try to express that in prose, it's a bit difficult, but I think sometimes it comes across that way because, you know, the imagery that, you know, you've got this vivid imagery that comes part and parcel with anime. And I think I try to put that into my works as well.
I was actually surprised to hear you cite One Piece as a favorite anime of yours, because it can be quite a lighthearted anime, and your work tends more towards the darker. But I can see what you're saying about the surrealness, because One Piece is definitely a strange anime sometimes.
It is very, but it's highly entertaining, and I love that about it.
It's definitely good to have a bit of lightheartedness in the world today, that's for sure. So while we're on the subject of anime, can you tell me a little bit about Devotee Magazine?
Yes. Okay. So there is, with anime and manga, there is a genre called boys love, and it focuses on romantic relationships between male characters. And so it's called YAOI Yaoi, or a boys love. And I've been a member of a certain forum for a number of years now that's dedicated to that particular subgenre. So I've been a fan for a very long time, and I've always wanted to create a magazine. So, you know, I just thought it would be a good idea to kind of mesh my two loves together and create a magazine that was purely something for fun. But also for me, it's a very serious endeavor because I really want to make it a success, but it on a very small scale, because it's kind of a one man operation. Right now, we are looking at maybe 2019 before anyone would even see the first issue. And I'm not even open for submissions yet. So it will be quite some time before this is realized.
That actually brings me to something else I was going to ask about. It seems like you're juggling a lot of things, a lot of interests and passions. How do you manage to juggle all of that?
I don't know. because it can be difficult at times, and I do get overwhelmed from time to time. I mean, aside from the writing, I have school, which I go to school and I work full time. So those are my two main concerns right now. Everything else is just something that I do in my free time, which is probably why it takes me so long to write stories. It takes me so long to realize side projects, because there's only so much time that I can devote to them. But at the same time, I'm drawn to them, and I feel like it's very worthwhile that I do these things.
And sometimes you do have to just throw yourself in headlong and push outside of the comfort zone, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know where we can find you and your work.
Okay, right now, I have one central website. It's tonyarmoore.com. That's TonyarMoore.com. And I've basically set that up as the hub where generally anything to do with my projects, there's a link to my projects from that website. I blog there. I just keep everything centralized there. So that's where you can find me. I have stories that are there that can be read online, and then this one ebook that can be downloaded for free.
Thank you so much, Tonya, for joining us and for telling us about your work.
My pleasure.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us on Signal Boost. Go check out Tonya and her collection, Becoming.
Welcome to the Skipping Fantasy Show. I'm Paul, and today on Signal Boost we have RSA Garcia, or Rhonda, who is here to talk about her work today. So hello, Rhonda.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us about your body of work and what you do in the genre community and how you connect them with all us science fiction folk.
Hi, well, it really happened very young for me. I started writing when I was around 10 or so. And I ended up joining many years after that a online community called the Online Writing Workshop for Science Fiction, Fantasy, and Horror. And that was really pretty much where my story started. I gained a lot of friends there, learned a lot about the craft there, and ended up meeting someone who eventually published my first novel, which is Lex Talionis. For the uninitiated, that's actually a phrase that loosely translates as the law of retaliation or the law of revenge, and it pretty much underpins old-time justice systems, biblical justice systems, the Jewish justice system, actually. That's the law that says it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I transferred the concept to science fiction, space opera specifically. So my debut novel, Lex Talionis, came out in 2014 and did pretty good critically. And I've written some short stories and so on since then. I'm from Trinidad and Tobago, which is a Caribbean country. I'm from the island of Trinidad. The country is made up of two islands, Trinidad and Tobago. And I believe one of my countrymen actually works for Skiffy and Fanti now. His name is Brandon O'Brien.
Yep, he's part of our ever-expanding alliance of people that we have coming in our umbrella. By 2024, we estimate that everybody in the world will be working for Skiffy and Fanti.
Wouldn't that be awesome to have true representation, though?
It would
There's
be
not
nice.
An awful lot of them. Yeah. There's not when I was coming up, the Caribbean was pretty much represented in science fiction by Nalo Hopkinson. And she was literally the first Caribbean sci-fi writer that I ever read. And her book, Midnight Robin, just really blew me away and said to me, maybe I can do this, even though she had a completely different path to publication than I did. I felt like if she could make it, I could make it. And I pretty much just kept going.
That's excellent. I've read Nalo's work. I've read Karen Lord's work. And I've also read Tobias Bacall. Okay, so that's three, but that's a little... I'm not as well versed as, say, Sean, who's getting a doctorate in the stuff, so...
Yeah, and then too, in terms of our body of work, the Caribbean has given a lot to the world in terms of literature, but not a lot of it was speculative fiction. If we do look at it in terms of fantasy, yeah, there's way more than there is of sci-fi, that I would say. So, yeah, I know Nalo and Tobias and Karen. They're all great people with fantastic stories. And it's such a pleasure and a surprise for me to be pretty much coming up with someone like Karen on the same time that someone like Tobias is really hitting his stride and having had the pleasure of meeting Nalo finally so many years after reading her inspiring work.
Oh yeah, I think it's great when you actually can finally meet the authors that you read and are inspired by after years of just seeing their printed words. You actually get to meet them in person. I've had fangasm moments in my career here as a reviewer and writer. It's like, oh my god, it's...
I know, right? How did this life happen? How did I get here?
Is this really real? Pinch myself sort of thing. Oh, nope.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to actually do a panel at our premier literature festival in Trinidad and Tobago. We have a festival around April, just about the end of April into the beginning of May every year, and it's called the Bocas Lit Festival. And a few years back, actually the year, I think, after my book came out, which was 2014, so that's probably 2015, we had a sci-fi panel for the very first time at the Bocas Lit Festival. And I was lucky enough to be on that panel with Nalo and Tobias and Karen, and it was probably one of the most amazing moments of my life to sit on a stage with everyone and actually be asked questions by the crowd, like, you know, like I wasn't actually some fangirl who had just slid in the door somehow.
Let's talk about some more recent work. You had your Lex Talionis come out in 2014, but I understand you had a story that was called The Boys that was actually going to be coming in a reprinted a forthcoming anthology. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. So it's actually called a bois. That's okay. It's not an easy word to pronounce, especially since it's kind of divorced from its original context. It's great character we have here in Trinidad called Papa Bois, and he's basically a protector of the forest type. We all know those kinds of guys. If I were to describe him, he would resemble like a satyr. He has, you know, hoofed feet and so on. But what I did was I sort of divorced that again from the fairy tale context, and it's a sci-fi story about an unusual woman who's literally she's a cyborg, and she's also the what we call the Tanti. In Caribbean society, a Tanti is basically anyone who's old enough to be your mom or your aunt. And Tanti is just another word for aunt. And they are very important. Like, even though our society is very, very patriarchal in some ways, it's literally built on a matriarchy where your grandmother, your aunts, wives, those are really the people who run the households and who make up. And for whom a lot of the home and your childhood is based around these women. And as a woman myself, I grew up noting that how important tanties were to everyone. And so I came up with this idea, you know, what if tanties were actually the lawgivers? What if they were the people who were responsible for keeping everyone safe? And so the story is actually about a lawgiver, a tanti, who has been through a lot in her life and is isolated and alone. And most of her isolation is due to the fact that she's a cyborg and she's different from everyone else, because we do have this thing in the Caribbean where sometimes we isolate people because they're different and we don't understand. I mean, it happens everywhere, but I was just thinking of a future colony with, you know, people who come from my world, from the Caribbean, and how they might react if they were dealing with someone who was so very different and who they didn't really understand. And then I threw into that mix this idea that we might actually encounter a world where they had aliens who did not wish to be seen, who did not have to be seen, who we couldn't possibly even communicate with because we're simply not capable of perceiving them. But because of the fact that she's an outsider, because she's made these cybernetic implants through no fault of her own, she's actually able to perceive these creatures, and she ends up needing their help and going to them.
That's fantastic. So this story is going to be reprinted in the Sunset Jungle Anthology. So why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
So actually, it's the Sunspot Jungle Anthology. There's two volumes, and some of the most amazing writers working now are being represented in each of those volumes. I literally can't believe I'm going to be in the same anthology collection as people like Karen Lord and Nalo Hopkinson and people like that. I'm just Lavi Tiddy. And I'm just really happy that I met Bill Campbell online. He's like an online friend. He's someone who's been running Rosarium Publishing for a while. I was lucky enough that my book was being sold at a con, and the publishers, my publishers, encouraged him to pick up a copy, and he liked it so much he gave me a call. Facebook shout out, basically. And we've been talking back and forth since then. And quite separate and apart from that, I published a story because I just happened to see a call for, you know, reimagined fairy tales and folk tales from the diaspora, especially the Black diaspora. And they were happy enough to accept it for Truancy Magazine's last issue. And he read it and he liked it so much that he just offered me a spot in the anthology as well.
That's an excellent and awesome story. I'm glad that your story is going to now get to see more readers than it was already on a Nebula recommended list, but now with this anthology, you'll get even more eyeballs out of that. I think that's excellent.
Yeah, that's, and it's part of what I love most about being part of the science fiction community globally. I feel like we're so much more willing to open our arms to people who are new to the field and to, you know, help them out, give them clues, give them advice. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for all the friends that I made on the OWW, who, and all the criticism I got, all the feedback I got, all the encouragement I got. I literally wouldn't have been published without meeting my publishers on that site. And then to, over the years, to encounter great people in the field who've encouraged me and who've, you know, said, you know, hey, try this, or they've mentioned me, oh, you know, you could take a look at her work. It's just really great to be part of a community that encourages and links up and networks for each other. And I hope that continues more and more. As a person of color, as somebody who's not based in the US, it will be a lot more difficult for us. So it's really wonderful when programs like Skiffy and Fanti open their arms and welcome someone like me. So I can reach out to other readers and again make connections with other people who share my same interests.
It's definitely our pleasure. But back a few years ago, we had a year where we just did almost nothing but World SFF, and after that year, we've kind of like put it in one of our major parts of our constellation, is to always kind of keep an eye out for authors who are outside the US and the UK to make this really a global voice and a global community of science fiction writers, because that's what it really is. Even though people don't often see it as much as they should, people like you are still out there writing and contributing, and we want to make sure that people are aware of your excellent work and what you do.
It's so great to see that too. So many people from, it's really exciting to see someone I've never seen before, a culture I've never had the opportunity to read stories from before. Definitely you guys have done great work, and to see an Uncanny magazine and Apex magazine and the publishing people, who have a completely different take and who have new views and who comes from different cultures. It's so encouraging. There was a period when I started out and, I felt like I was alone out there, trying and not really getting anywhere, and I'm just really glad I didn't give up, because the community has really grown, and it feels good to be part of something meaningful that's spreading, and as you said, that's becoming so global, and I get to have a conversation with my work now, overall, to the rest of the world, because some of the issues that I grew up with and the things that concern me in my country are things that, you know, I think the rest of the world would also be interested in hearing about, and there are different viewpoints and there are discussions to be had and debates and stuff. With my story, Des Bois, you know, I was talking about outsiders and possibly as well, just a little bit, you know, how much we should really impose on other places that we don't understand, and how much we can really expect to understand when we go out there and we explore and stuff like that. And then with Lex Talionis, it was more of a conversation about violence and the how shall we put it, about genetics and about our place in the universe. And I came at it from examining Earth, thinking about Earth as being, let's say, as not as important as we'd like it to be, as being part of this huge universe where basically we're a backwater and no one really gives a damn. And that's pretty much the perspective that I've grown up with, from coming from a small Caribbean island. Most people don't even know we exist, can't pronounce our name, you know, for many years, you know, get confused when they hear two names, they think it's two different places and not one country, you know, that sort of thing, you know. So it was that, all of that kind of inspired the work. There are elements and discussions to be had around so many issues, and I like exploring that in my work and putting it in there, but in a sort of mainstream way, because it's a conversation to be had, and I'd like lots of people to get it on it.
Well, thank you for helping spread those voices and spread those ideas and spreading that viewpoint out to others. So I think we're going to wrap up here. So if you could tell our listeners where they can find you on the internet site and anything else you want us to know about, I think that'd be good.
So my book, Lex Talionis, is available on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, on Kobo. You can also read my short story, Des Bois, online for free at my website, rsagarcia.com. I have links there to everything, to where you can pick up my book, to my short stories, my published stories, and even some free stories that I've posted there as well. And in the meantime, if you want to check me on Twitter, I'm RSA Garcia on Twitter as well.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Rhonda.
Thanks so much for having me, Paul. It was really great.
Thank you for listening to the show. If you'd like to support us, you can find us at patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can do so at our email at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com, on Twitter at skiffyandfanty, and on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Our intro and outro music comes from Dimension by Creo. You can find out more about them at freemusicarchive.org.